Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. We have another exciting show to bring you today. And hello, Peter.
Hello. We've had more than our share of excitement.
With all the technological
few days, we've been technologically challenged, but we can beat every technological challenge you throw at us with help from
our, a piece of wood.
from our good friends at Applied Computer Resources who've been helping out, and we're hopeful that everything will be restored. In the meantime, we are here ready to do a program, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. I think Anne's always on top of all the latest things that are going on in the food and the dining business. And with the year drawing to a close, we're looking to 2010 to see what's coming up, what's new and exciting. So over to you, Miss Anne.
Well, I'd say that there are a lot of us continuation of 2009 with the Eat Local, Sustainable, the whole business. But, you know, I've been reading all the different trends. Everybody's coming forth with a report, a prognostication, I guess is the term. The one I enjoyed the most, actually, was from Epicurious that predicted the top 10 food trends for 2010. And I'm going to read them, and I want you to comment on them. How's that?
You do. Well, I've got to comment. Isn't Epicurious the website that's owned by Gourmet, the late, great Gourmet magazine?
Well, yeah, but it's still alive.
Okay, well, you go ahead.
Okay. So they have a dish, and then they have front burner, which is coming up, and back burner, which is the fad that's faded.
Okay, I remember you showed me that.
So we have what we're looking forward to is fried chicken, and what we're pushing to the curb is burgers. You know, we had all the haute burgers.
Well, I think it's fair to say that fried chicken never really went away anyway. So, uh-huh. Because if you remember, we had Michael Simon on just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but Thomas Keller
does fried chicken with buttermilk.
Yeah, that's in his new cookbook,
way,
Ad Hoc.
I mean, he's been doing that for years. If you go to his house, that's what he cooks you. So,
well, okay, and also David Chang's doing fried chicken.
So I don't think there's anything new.
But it's if they elevate it, who is it that does the $6,000 burger?
I don't know, but that was always kind of silly.
I thought
so good sense has returned in 2010
would be
my comment on that. Go ahead.
Okay, next one is in is mini whoopie pies, which is a chocolate sandwich filled with marshmallow cream. I can't believe that. There's a whole book devoted to that one. And our good buddy Michael Ricciuti did a version of that,
but
too.
But what's out?
Oh, what's out is mini cupcakes. I'd be happy to see them go.
Cupcakes are on the way out. I understand people are starting to cut corners making cupcakes.
They're cutting corners.
Yeah. Jocelyn Serrell said she fired her cupcake baker. She used to go on Saturday afternoon for a cupcake. And then she said the quality went down, so she's not going anymore. So on to the next one.
Okay, we've got in is lamb, which is fine with me because I love that.
Lamb's always been in here.
And out is pork, which I don't believe.
I don't think that's true. So we'll ignore that one. On to the next one.
The health trends, and this is interesting because I know almost nothing about it, is the new thing is the immunity-building diet.
Go ahead, and what's out?
And what's out is omega-3s.
Okay, there you go. Well, I never did like taking those fishy pills anyway, so on to the next one.
Okay, the profession, we could have predicted this. In is butchers. I mean, big time butchers.
Okay, and out is mixologists. I remember
that one.
I think I agree with that completely.
Okay, and then we have the drink, homemade beer. I mean, everything I read about and hear about is beer centric.
Yeah, beer is good. Homemade, I'm not so sure. Out is
that these mad science cocktails.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah. Okay, then we have the city, the big in city, which I also agree with and want to see, is Vancouver.
Vancouver,
I want to see that, but I don't like who's out because I don't believe that.
I have a feeling there's been some influence from a great press parade of a media frenzy over the Winter Olympics, but nevertheless, what's out?
Oh, I hate it. My favorite is Barcelona. Well, that's supposed to be out.
I read the reasons why.
They might be right.
You know, okay. maybe there's a need for some self-correction in the pricing side of things every once in a while. That might have something to do with it.
And then the entertaining trend.
In is Valencia.
That's true. The entertaining trend, we can look forward to is potlucks. And I'm telling you, it depends on how much you like macaroni salads.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
I do believe that the out thing is nobody's doing formal dinners at home anymore.
If we went to a potluck dinner at somebody's house, I know the only food we'd eat would be what we took.
Exactly.
Now, what's next?
Sex symbol.
Oh. I thought you were just saying sex was it.
No. Sam Cass, who's the food initiative coordinator to the White House.
He's in. Okay.
He's in.
He won't be in for very
long.
He's
very involved with feeding our children, which is a hot new thing, too.
He's probably involved with the social secretary, too.
And Curtis Stone, the biggest loser guy.
Is he out?
He's out.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank goodness for that. Well, he's almost faded away anyway, so he's out. He's out all on his own.
No, he's the one that gets them all to...
Oh, he's the host. I've never even watched a program. I can't imagine a more disgusting sight. So is that what we got?
Well, maybe he's a loser.
Well, anyway.
We have
another trend that's been with us for years and years and years, and it's going to continue to be with us for years and years and years, called farm to table.
That's a continuation.
And our next guest is a very interesting take on farm to table.
But she also is another trend, I think. Is everybody is, as opposed to traditional media, there are all these food bloggers out there, lots of them, and I Twitter with them all the time, and then they end up getting books, which is what happened with the Ree Drummond.
Well, I just thought her story was, she married the Marlboro man and what that was like, so that's upcoming right away.
Now, here's someone that I've just been dying to talk to, is Ree Drummond, whose blog... she's going to have to explain this whole thing. The reason we're talking to her is she has a cookbook out, The Pioneer Woman Cooks, and she has a blog that's in the stratosphere in terms of hits because she's so popular.
And the reason we're able to talk to Ree is that we've had a chapter of accidents because we were trying to do this by cellular reception into Texas, and we were obviously not in Verizon wireless territory because the sound was really bad. And then we just got cut off, and an earring was to blame.
Ree, so let's cut through all this.
Even cowgirls wear earrings.
Give us the short version of your absolutely romantic and delightful story here. How did you end up on a ranch?
Goodness, I have no idea how I got there.
There's Marlboro Man.
Yes, I grew up on a golf course, actually, in a corporate town. I was the daughter of an orthopedic surgeon and went to Broadway trips to New York and spent my summers at the pool. And I went to school in Los Angeles and lived out there for a few years and worked and decided to move to Chicago. But I decided to take a pit stop in my hometown in Oklahoma first.
You were going to go to law school. Let's not let that out. That's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So I was just going to pretty much go from one city to another with a little pit stop in between. And it was during this pit stop that I met some old high school friends at a local dive. And I met this cowboy wearing Wranglers. And it was all over for me.
Yeah, I said when I read you said, I loved his Wranglers. That was great.
And he had premature gray hair also. So it was his gray hair and his Wranglers.
It sounds like our lamb supplier.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Keith Martin from Elysian Fields, who shows up with his prematurely gray hair and his Wranglers.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered why he made house calls.
Yeah, my gardener looked at him and said, tight ass.
He actually said, nice buns. That was different.
Sorry.
That's exactly what I said to Marlboro Man.
That's what you said too.
I did say, I like your hair, so I think that's what cinched it.
It wasn't immediate. I mean, he took his time getting back to you, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He waited 4 months to call me.
Holy Moses, you hung around that long.
We really did have this connection I imagined in my mind and talked into the evening, and then he had to leave abruptly, and didn't hear from him for 4 months, and I was a couple of weeks away at that point from moving. I had my Chicago plans were well underway, and he called. It turns out, I would find out later, that he was working cows in Nebraska and traveling a lot, but he also was involved with somebody else.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. So,
you didn't have that in the book. That's something you'll tell me privately through Twitter. Now, tell me this. Ask about him. Did he know and just didn't call, or what was it? I mean, he had this other person. What is working cows?
Oh, well, that refers to basically just caring for a herd of cattle, and sometimes it means weaning the calves off of the mothers or running the cattle through a chute and giving them antibiotics or doctoring them or other things you might not want to talk about on the radio.
Yeah, I understand. Huh?
You have a little bit of a farm background, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I understand this is not
only,
PC.
Only a very small farm background, I can assure you.
I'm essentially an urban brat. But I
well, that you probably have more of a background than I had when I met my husband. So.
Could be.
Well, yeah, maybe, because you were much more suburban.
But why... we've forgotten to mention, I think, why we're talking about this.
Exactly. You were on the ranch.
Because there's a reason why we're interested in this story, but we'll let Ree finish it off.
Yeah, Ree, tell us the story then. Pick up from where you left off.
Well, I'll try not to drag it out. It goes on and on my site. I turned this into sort of an online little love story. But so he called and asked me out to dinner, and I thought to myself, well, I don't know why I would. There's really no reason I'm leaving, but I just decided to go to dinner with him, and it was just complete connection right off the bat, and we went out the next night and the next night, and by the seventh date, I had all but canceled my plans to Chicago. It was whirlwind, basically.
Understand that, because we had the same thing. We accidentally met waiting for an airport limousine in Philadelphia when I was living there, and he was on a business tour from Australia and flying to Pittsburgh from Australia.
Yes, so we know it happens.
We know it happens.
The only difference is we didn't move to a ranch and write a book about it.
And you weren't wearing Wranglers, probably.
No, I wasn't. That's a long... We don't need to go down that
I will not make
pathway.
My fun comment.
No, you don't have to do
this
that.
This is getting out of control.
But the great part about it is that listeners... People who don't catch this whole story on the air, but who want the rest of the details, it's all in the book.
Well, it's first of all in the blog, and
it's all in the blog too. Yes.
And you were so popular, Ree. I mean, why do you think you were so popular?
Well, I don't really look at it that way. I don't think of it as being all about me. I think somehow I'm able to convey whether it's a lifestyle or an outlook on life, maybe, that people are entertained by or attracted to. And I take great pride on my site in the fact that I don't take any stances. So
say that you're homeschooling 4 kids and doing all the work on the ranch and cooking and blogging and writing a cookbook is not overachieving and everybody else should do it. You're just saying this is what you do.
No, because I feel like such a slacker most of the time. My closet's a mess, and my car is a mess. But what I mean by I don't take any stance is, you know, they're not going to come to my site and engage in any sort of debate on the issues, or, you know, we're not going to talk about the candidates and the issues, and because that's not really what I have to offer the world. I want to show them a slice of life and talk about my family, how much I love them, how weird they are, and most people, I think, know that when they come to my site, they won't walk away feeling heavier or weighted down, except for the butter, but I mean in a figurative sense. They won't feel depressed. So I don't think of it as me being popular so much as just kind of a place where people can feel lighter for a few minutes.
Yes, you are very witty and amusing and charming. And what is the website?
My website is thepioneerwoman.com.
And the name of the book is The Pioneer Woman Cooks. And that brings us to this other aspect, is that you started talking not just about the stories of your daily life, which, of course, are interesting also, but you started adding recipes. Now, tell us why your recipes are so unique.
Well, my blog, the whole thing started... real quickly, in my pajamas one day, and it started as a personal blog called Confessions of a Pioneer Woman, and it's where I kind of wrote about strange stories from my past, wacky stories, and then my transition to country life, which had, at that point had been a decade-long transition. And about a year into my regular blog, I thought, I mean, I'm sharing all of this other stuff about my life, all of these other aspects, and cooking is such a big part of my life, it would only make sense that I show what I'm making for dinner tonight. So I started one night with a tutorial on how to cook a steak, because that's what I was making my husband, and I had always been one of those cookbook buyers who had to have photos. I did not buy a cookbook if there wasn't a photo of the finished dish. It just kind of gave me that confidence that I, you know, would know what the dish was supposed to look like.
Yeah, so, a lot of people feel that way, I think.
But you went several steps beyond that, and you have photographs every step of the way.
So I sort of went crazy with that concept, and since it was online, space isn't so much an issue. So I think with How to Cook a Steak, there were probably 15 to 20 photos of seasoning the steak and sizzling the butter in the pan and putting the steak in and making the grill marks, and there was a really favorable response to it. I didn't expect it anybody to really react.
This is duplicated in your book too. You don't just do the recipes; you do the tutorials.
Well, that's how I know about it. That's how I know about it, because I haven't been on the blog, but I did look at the book.
Uh huh.
And it's
exactly.
It's nice to know that it takes 8 steps to make mashed potatoes. and there's a picture of every single one of them. So you can't possibly go wrong unless you spill too many potatoes on the book and you can't read it anymore.
I know. Well, online, there are about 80 steps to the mashed potatoes, but we had to shave it down a little bit. But I think, you know, it's not that everyone who comes to my site has no idea how to cook, but I think it's just, you know, it's people who are visual learners just appreciate knowing they won't get too far off the path. They follow the instructions. And so,
talk about what kinds of, I mean, this is not haute cuisine you're talking about.
Oh, no. Well, I should back up just a tiny bit. I was a vegetarian for 7 years when I met my husband.
that's another unbelievable thing.
Oh, yes. I was a staunch vegetarian.
And sushi snob.
Yes. So I've sushi and, you know, Thai food and everything a girl could eat in Los Angeles, I ate. So then I found myself married to this cowboy and surrounded by cowboys, and they didn't even eat long noodles because it was too cumbersome. You know, they would get frustrated with fettuccine. So the first meal I ever cooked for my husband, I write about this in the cookbook, was linguine with clam sauce.
I noticed the recipe was in there. It seemed like an odd fit.
Well, I put it in there because it's a little bit nostalgic for me, because that's the first thing I ever cooked for him. And knowing what I know now about my husband, I just roll on the floor laughing that at that point he was polite enough to eat it.
Let me throw this one at you. How about what I served Peter, which was spinach noodles with pig's feet and red sauce?
Oh, my goodness. Did he like it?
No. I would probably like it better now, but the color, there was something wrong with the color scheme.
The green noodles and the pink feet.
No, it was the red sauce and the green noodles. This was a contrast made in hell, not in heaven.
That is so funny.
So, what else do you cook then?
Chicken fried steak, of
you
course.
Had to come a long ways to be able to prepare this stuff. And I also wanted to ask you, how many people at a time do you cook?
Well, that really varies depending on the work schedule on the ranch. And during the summers, we will have more busy working days where we have a lot more hands helping us out. And if that's the case, I will cook for a room full of cowboys. But most of the time on a daily basis, it's the 6 of us in our family, my 4 children and my husband. I have 2 boys and a husband, and they will eat me out of house and home. So I have to, and they're pretty picky. So I had to sort of adapt and figure out how to cook things that were extremely flavorful, extremely hearty, because these men work so hard that eating for them is really not just about dining. It's about sustenance.
It's refueling, right?
It is refueling, yes. So
you work hard, too. So you don't, I mean, we have to be honest. These are not calorie-counting recipes.
No, they're not. I just, if you're looking for fat-free or low-cal,
this is
my
it.
Website and my cookbook are not probably the right the right fit.
And what, but, what does the Marlboro Man think about this, your success and acclaim and fame and whatever with the blog and the book?
It's just so, he is completely supportive, and for that reason alone, it's hard for me ever to doubt that I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. First of all, the blogging medium is just a great fit for me because I have strange little thoughts. It sort of helps me be stream of consciousness about expressing myself. And,
oh, great.
But it's just so strange that this man who grew up in the country would grasp and embrace this digital medium and go on a book trip with me. And
oh, he's with you?
Yes, he and the kids have been with me
most
of the time, and it really is kind of a family thing, as is the ranching operation and homeschooling. I mean, whatever we all do, it's sort of as a crazy team, so it's nice. I couldn't do it without his support.
Now, what have we missed about the book? Is there something else in the blog that we should be saying?
Well, the book is different from most cookbooks, and on one hand, I really don't want to portray myself as a chef or a cooking expert, and it's more sort of a slice of life cookbook, and I wanted it to be a reflection of my blog and the things that people enjoyed about my blog. So while I have the step-by-step recipes, I also pepper that with little vignettes about ranch life and pictures of my Basset Hound wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, we like Basset Hounds, too. And my favorite section is the beauty contest with your horses.
Oh, yeah. And that's sort of an example of the stream of consciousness approach I take. I just had all these photos of wild Mustangs and turned it into a beauty pageant. So I'm just so grateful I'm growing up, or not growing up, but living in the country during this digital time instead of in 1901.
Well, we talked about that. My grandmother wasn't so thrilled about the whole dairy farm thing.
Life was a lot harder in the country. And
oh, yeah.
I do use the term pioneer woman very tongue-in-cheek when I describe myself.
Yeah, because you have internet, you have two dishwashers, you told me, and a variety of other conveniences, right?
Exactly. I every now and then I catch someone saying, she is no pioneer woman.
Oh, really?
She does not wash her clothes on a washboard. And and I want to raise my hand and say, I agree with you.
Well, you're absolutely a delight, Ree, and I'm so glad we finally got to talk. And, you know, I look forward to meeting you on Facebook and Twitter again.
Thank you so much. And I'd love to know what your significant other was wearing when you met. But
you know,
maybe we'll have to know
terrible.
Each other better when you tell me that.
I'll tell you it with a DM.
Okay.
I don't even know what the DM is.
He doesn't know.
I don't know what that's about.
We'll cover that in another episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Go replace your earrings, and have a good evening, and I'm assuming you'll be out on the circuit doing book signings tomorrow, right?
Yes. Meeting people who have sort of been my online friends for a few years now, so
oh, great.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's wonderful. Another advantage of this.
Thank you so much for coming back at us when we had good sound. We enjoyed the book. We certainly enjoyed this conversation. And please give our best regards to your family and the Marlboro Man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Ciao.
I appreciate it.
Good night, Ree.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And now it's time to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. You're doing now a trendy thing. You're following all the interviews with the culinary trendsetters that we have interviewed on our show.
We have a culinary trendsetter in an interesting kind of way, I guess, because he lived in Maine, went back to Maine, but in somewhere in between discovered barbecue and is now conquering the world of barbecue from the state least likely to have barbecue, I would think.
Yeah, he's a maniac.
He's a maniac, and his name is Denny Mike, and he was a fascinating interview, so here he is.
Denny Mike Sherman. You know, when you think of Maine, which is
where you are. You never think of maniacs as being barbecue fanatics. You think of perhaps a seaside lobster expert. How did you end up doing barbecue in Maine?
Well, it's interesting that you opened the conversation with that, Ann, because I actually grew up doing lobster bakes all my life, as we call them up here in Maine. And, of course, we were, you know, that was everything we knew about outside cooking. And when I went to school in old Mexico back in the mid-70s, I became friends with a guy from Houston. And we had occasion to visit his folks in Houston area, and I was introduced to Texas-style dry-rub barbecue back then, and bitten with the barbecue bug, and certainly the Texas-style dry-rub bug, and I have I've been living the dream ever since. I actually had a restaurant that I sold a couple years back just to focus on my selling my sauces and rubs, where I developed the products, and sure, it's having gone down to Texas now and grabbed, you know, a few gold medals and what have you recently at the National Barbecue Association. Sure, these the cowboys are just scratching their heads saying, who is this Yankee, and does he really know anything about barbecue or what?
So you're at the top of their game, huh?
Well, you know, I don't want to certainly rub their nose in it because they're all pals of mine. But I tell you what, I love you know, being able to say, hey, guess what?
Now, what took you back? What took you back to Maine? You liked barbecue, but you didn't like Texas other than that?
Well, I love Texas actually, but Maine's my home, and I married a girl from Northern Maine, and you know, we kind of set up shop, you know, and you know, where we're familiar, and we actually hopefully spend the rest of our lives here.
So you did the development of your combinations of flavor sort of as a side hobby until it became an obsession?
Exactly, Peter. The genesis of my products actually was a result of my opening. I had a real estate rehab project that got me into barbecue. I had a retail space that I said, hey, what the heck, why don't I put a little barbecue joint in? There's nothing like it around here, of course, and that gave me an opportunity to see if I knew anything about it. And I found out quickly on that I really didn't, but, you know, you go down, you know, go in the deep end of the pool, you find out how to swim real quick. So anyway, I was using off-the-shelf rubs and
okay, so you were using somebody else's product, one you thought was pretty good, but
exactly. And the point is that most of the primary ingredient in the rubs was salt. The primary ingredient in the sauces was high fructose corn syrup. And I said, well, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way than this. And I certainly set myself to the task and produced these rubs. Fortunately, I had the restaurant to test all of my products out on my customers. And fortunately, they all survived, and the products evolved to the point they are today.
Yeah, now we haven't even mentioned the name of your product is Deddy Mike's Q-Stuff. And also specifying that it's gluten-free, all natural, no junk, fat-free, and zero trans fats. And that's pretty good.
Now who's the partner?
Yeah, well, actually, it's an interesting question, Peter, because people ask me, are you Denny or are you Mike? And I say, yes, I am.
Okay, so you really don't have a partner, although you have a...
Well, my wife, Patrice, is my partner in life as well as business, and I wouldn't want to have it any other way.
Well, I mean, his name is Denny Mike.
Denny Mike
Sherman.
I was expecting maybe Mike was going to join us, too, and I guess he did.
Yeah, you have us all in... You have us all at rapt attention. My given name is Dennis Michael Sherman.
Okay.
And my mother gave me the nickname Denny Mike when I was a kid. And, of course, up in New England, you can't really use the two-name handle.
It's southern, isn't it?
Kids are all making fun of me, so I said, Mom, don't call me Denny Mike anymore. And then when I went to Texas in 75, everybody was Billy Bob and Bobby Joe and Billy Pete. So I said, wait. I says, what about Denny Mike? And they said, wow, man, that's you. We like that. You're Denny Mike from now on.
Now, cool. You never went to Atlanta, right? With the last name Sherman, you never went to Atlanta.
Yeah, I've slid through the Hartsfield International, and that's it.
I can understand why, and you certainly don't march to Charleston and Savannah.
Exactly right, Peter. And you got to know where you're welcome.
Yeah. Now tell us this, Denny Mike. Give us a lowdown, or give our listeners sort of run through your product line and what kinds of things, and also mention one of the most clever things are the names that you give. I mean, you have this great wit about your name and your products.
Well, thank you, Ann, for pointing that out. We've had fun with it. I've got a great design firm, that Taja Dockendorf at T-Doc Design in Portland, Maine. Great firm that's been working on my brand since day one, and, of course, it's a group effort. We get together, and, of course, we made the basic recipes, and then, of course, well, what do we call this? And, you play around with it. It's a process. A lot of it is playing around with the graphic work behind it. But the names were just kind of more tongue-in-cheek, primarily.
Oh, they're Chick Magnet. It's
Chick
funny.
Magnet, Pixie Dust, Cowbell Hell.
Sublime Swine.
Sublime Swine, My Heavenly Pork and Rib Rub. It's we've got Mosquito Madness, which is a little bit of a play on the Maine State bird, but it's actually a mesquite powder that we use for a smoky flavor in that sauce. And we have Hot and Nasty, and we have the Carolina sauce speaks for itself. It's a vinegar base, more it's something you'd probably be familiar with. Guys.
So you sort of you really cover the whole range.
Yeah, the range of taste and the likely products that you're going to cook with. Everything from brisket to I'd use Cowbell Hell on my brisket, Sublime Swine on my ribs and Black Chick Magnet, of course, on my chicken and all poultry. I've got Fintastic, which is awesome on seafood. Which is a little different because generally you don't think of and I think at this point I'd like to point out. These products I am stressing are not primarily barbecue products, but they're actually just regular enhancers.
Yeah, flavor enhancers.
Enhancers. You use them in the oven. You use them in the crock pot, on your stove. You don't need to have a smoker or a grill. You don't need to be thinking made in November. You can think year-round with it.
And you've won awards with this.
Actually, thanks for asking about that, Ann. I won 2 gold medals down in Austin at the National Barbecue Association's annual award ceremony in February. And coupled with a couple of fourth place finishes for my sauces. And then just recently got notified that I won 2 golds out in Albuquerque at the Fiery Foods Challenge for my Cowbell Hell and my Hot and Nasty.
That's our buddy at the Fiery Foods. What's his name?
Dave DeWitt.
Dave DeWitt. He's been on the show. Have you listened to him?
Actually, I don't know. You're in Pittsburgh, and I'm in the boonies.
No. So. It's internet.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I have not.
Okay, well, you got to listen to me. It was very funny.
Let me step back just a second here, because I want listeners to understand that because the world of barbecue consists of a variety of terms. We've had someone who told us about the difference between mops and rubs and everything else, and that difference exists in all of your products. But there is one class of product, at least we didn't get a sample of, which I'm wondering if you also make, which is more like a marinade.
And yes,
we got those. We love a company called Stubbs from Texas.
Stubbs makes a great product.
It's
just a terrific line of products, which unfortunately the founder never really enjoyed the success of because somebody else picked up his recipes after he passed away.
Right.
But the product that he had that I liked the best was the marinade that you could put a piece of very indifferent meat, whether it's pork or chicken or beef, and submerge it in this marinade for 24 or 48 hours, and it transformed. Yes, now, do you have products like that?
Well, Peter, in fact, what you'd want to do with mine, I don't have a marinade per se, but you take a combination or a little mix of my Carolina style with any one of my tomato-based sauces, mix those together and make a, it'll end up being a slightly thick but thinner than, it'll be a mop, and you use that as a marinade because of the vinegar and all of your citric acid, et cetera. in the Carolina style, you're going to end up with exactly what you're trying to achieve with any marinade.
Great, because we've been dry rubbing, but I bought a piece of sirloin steak today, and sirloin always needs a little help.
There you go.
So I'm going to help it out.
Good, and do that, and don't be afraid to die. What I would suggest, Peter, is if you like it smoky, then certainly use the mesquite, but if you like it a little touch on the spicy side, then use the combination of Carolina and hot and nasty.
Now, are you part of this culture? That do you travel around for these shows?
Actually, I am more of the national. Let me make a distinction. The National Barbecue Association is, I would refer to them as the business of barbecue.
Okay.
And the Kansas City Barbecue Society is more the competition side of barbecue, such as what you'd see. They had a show on the Learning Channel last night, the Pitmaster.
Oh, yeah, that was debuting. I meant to watch that, and then we went out.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's good, huh, the Pitmasters?
Yes. Now, it's a good show, yeah. It's very informative, but that, in answer to your question, I have yet to compete on the circuit. I've been so busy doing everything else, I just have not had time. I've, in fact, put together the Great State of Maine Grilling and Barbecue Championship. Started that 3 years ago. I actually have handed the reins over to a great outfit down in Elliott, who's taken it over as the Grilling and Chilling Championship.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it's really a lot of fun. I'm dying to do it. And, in fact, I said this morning to a friend on the way in, I says, you know, I can't wait to hit the circuit, because we were talking about the Pitmasters. I said, I know all those guys.
Yeah, see, it's like a real fraternity. I mean, we've been to the great barbecue thing in New York.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a great one.
You would enjoy that a lot.
The Big Apple.
The Big Apple Barbecue Block Party.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then we've also been to the one in Greenwood, which is where our son lives, and some of the same people are there for that.
Absolutely.
And that's South Carolina.
Yeah, it is. It's a circuit. These guys are, a lot of them are going, bragging rights. The course is oftentimes very nice prize money, and basically it's a family, it's a very small group of very rabid barbecue fanatics, you know.
Oh, I wish I had thought of that show. That's a perfect show to follow. Okay. All the chef shows.
I believe they're going to be on regularly, if not once a week. I know this was, I can't recall what they said the next show was, but I was just kind of keep an eye on it. But it's very well done. A little rough on the, I think, on the edges at some points, but they'll work all of that out.
Oh, good. Exciting.
Good informative show. It gives people a lot of insight into really the world of barbecue. And that, as I say, focuses on competition barbecue. The business of barbecue is a little different, or actually quite a bit different, because it's really just getting barbecue out over the, on the plate in front of a buying public. And of course, your repeat business is what those are the accolades and the attaboys that you're looking for. On the flip side of it, if you're not competing, you certainly want to be cooking a product that people come back for.
Now, how do people get this wonderful range of products?
Well, you can get me on at DennyMikes.com. That's DennyMikes.com. We're actually working the website right now. It's going to be it's perfectly functional, but we're always improving it, as you know. And you can always call me directly if you'd like, 207-251-0023. And I might point out that we're scheduled, I'm proud to say, to be featured on the Today Show. Not to take anything away from On the Road Radio, I think we're going to be on the Monday morning segment of Christmas. They do a Christmas gift suggestion type thing. And,
right.
And I'm pretty proud of the fact that that they've selected my products to
be
featured.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, will it be next Monday?
This coming Monday, yes, I believe the 7th.
Great. Well, I'll try and get a word up on our website before then, so that people have a reminder to tune in.
Well, that'll be great if you could, and I'd appreciate that, and see if there's anything else that.
Are you in retail distribution at all?
We're in Whole Foods, but kind of limited distribution right now. We're in the Northeast region and the North Atlantic region, which gets us into northern New Jersey. Not quite down to you guys yet.
Okay.
But we're working on Mid-Atlantic. We're working on Midwest. We've got some distributions through Associated Grocers. Soon to hopefully be in Food Lion, and we're getting good traction out there. Of course, all the awards that we're winning gives us a lot more credibility in the market. So,
let's hear it for Maniacs, because we've been having a number of them on the show. From Gifford's Ice Cream what else? We have a whole bunch of them.
Harlan's a great guy. I know them all. Michael Gagne. Sam Hayward, there's a beautiful culinary ethic up here that is just everybody loves what they're doing. Of course, we love buying local, as they say. So, fresh is the best. And, when you get all natural and you use quality ingredients and you have a commitment and, you have conviction, then, I'll tell you what, let's have a party.
Well, I think it's
a good idea.
What a sensational idea to be able to buy wonderful products that people can use to enhance their food without the need for salt and high fructose corn syrup. I'm so glad we brought that up, because I think they're two of the most evil substances known to man when it comes to corrupting packaged food.
I absolutely agree.
Well done. Keep up the great work, Denny Mike, and we'll tune in on Monday morning to the Today Show.
Well, I'm thankful to have you on your show. I really appreciate you having me. I wish you happy holidays.
And you
and,
too.
Well, I guess I'll just sign off, but I want to just say that I'm happy to send you a nice little reload of samples if you'd like.
We'd love it. We absolutely would love it. We wish you a wonderful holiday too. We are destined to come to Maine and Vermont sometime next year, but not for several months.
We're not in the winter.
Yeah, we're gonna wait for the birds to fly.
Yes, indeed, and I can understand that. But I'll tell you what, you do keep my name and number, and you make sure to get a hold of me, because I'll be the best tour guide you ever saw.
We'll look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
And
Denny,
thank you.
Mike.
I appreciate it for both of you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.
That brings us, I think, to the time to take another break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, here we are again, and we're, as always, asking you to stay connected to us. Following us on our blog, our website with our news updates, Twitter, Facebook. We should join more of those things, shouldn't we?
Are there more of them out there?
Oh, yes.
I don't do any of them except the blog, and I guess I'm not the most conscientious blogger you've ever seen either, but it's hard to keep up with everything that's going on. There's so much going on these days, and that's a trend.
Yeah, and so is tea.
So the noise level, I think the noise level about food and the noise level on social networking is just going to keep on going up. I don't see it going any other way. And you're right, on trend, it's been a trend that's been going on for
thousands of years.
Yeah, hundreds of years, I guess, but rediscovered in the last 5 or 6 years is the wonderful world of tea. And our last two guests on the program are, shall we say, they have one of the more interesting backgrounds that there has been in the business of tea.
Just when you think you've sipped almost every tea from every company out there making tea, you hit a new one that's really a success story. That is the case with Fully Loaded Tea, and we have the co-founders, sisters, Katya Popoff and Olga Lenova on the line from Ontario. Welcome, ladies.
Hello. Thank you.
What makes Fully Loaded Tea such a sensation? I was reading about how all the celebrities, A-listers, and the Emmys, the pre-Emmys, and all these award ceremonies are crazy about this tea. What is it special? What is special about Fully Loaded Tea?
Well, we take whole leaf tea, and we add actual pieces of exotic fruits and berries, things like goji berries, seabuck thorn, berries that we grew up with in Siberia. So they're very high in antioxidants, and it gives the tea a very nice fruity flavor as well. And because we pack in pyramid bags, we can actually put whole leaf tea in there. So it's a great quality tea. It tastes really great. And our packaging is very eye-catching. So I think that's what people really like about us.
And it has a very modern feel to it.
Yeah, that's sort of what we were going for, and basically in everything, in designing the blends and creating the packaging, is to really be a modern tea company. If you ask anybody about tea, everybody sort of says, well, it's very good for you, it's very healthy, but most of the time it's more traditional.
It's not as exciting. As just mention some of your brands or the compositions of your teas.
Yeah, we have blends. I mean, we have 7 blends right now, and we actually give them sort of very unique names to make them more catchy and to make people remember them. So we have blends. We have 2 green teas, the Goji Forest green tea that has goji berries, and we have the Naked Strawberry Green Tea. That's a whole leaf sencha green tea with strawberry pieces and rose petals.
Yeah, and there's a blueberry one, right?
Yeah, we have white tea also. That's actually our most unique blend because it has cucumber and carrot.
Right, that's good. I like that one.
I bet Richard Gere would like that one. Huh?
Richard Gere would like that, right. Yeah,
it's one of the most unique teas that people ever taste, but it's actually one of our top-selling blends.
Now, you just dropped this line in that where you're from in Siberia. I sense there's a story here. Tell us your backstory.
Yeah, well, we grew up in Siberia, me and Olga. We moved with our family to Canada in 95, so we've been... We sort of spent half of our lives there and half of our lives here. And life there is—it's like living on a different planet.
Imagine.
That's what I was thinking. But there is a tea tradition in Siberia, though, right?
Yeah, in all of Russia, tea is a very, very traditional drink there. It's a very social occasion. People come over for tea. They don't come over for coffee or for your. You know, for dinner, if it's just a casual acquaintance, you always invite them over. Oh, come over, have a cup of tea with me.
I thought it was vodka.
Probably that, too.
Vodka and caviar is what I associate with.
Now, how did you come up with the idea? I mean, the concept, so you had tea as a culture, but then you had to, I'm sure, go on about trying to figure out how you could import it into Canada to use. But where did the idea come from to add this fully loading?
Well, in Russia, what we did is we used to actually grow our own fruits and berries and vegetables in the country with our parents and grandparents. And because in Siberia, it's very difficult to get the proper nutrition in the winter, we used to actually add the dried fruits and berries to our teas and let them steep and release their vitamins into the tea. And that's where we got the idea for these blends.
Now, where did you get your business experience to pull this off? You've only been in business since 1997, and yet it's already making headlines.
We actually didn't have any business experience when we were coming into this. We knew a lot about tea and a lot about fruits and a lot about herbs, but in terms of being in the food industry, we were... at zero. So most of it, a lot of it was basically trial and error. I mean, we figured it out as we went along.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember we would sit in the office and Google things like distributors and brokers and different shipping terms, you know, because we didn't know absolutely anything. So it was really trial and error, and I guess a lot of good common sense on our part.
Now, the product is... How widely is it distributed? I seem to recall that the box that we got when you sent us some, it had a rather complex-looking customs form on it. But are you able to ship your product into the United States in quantity?
Yeah, right now we're expanding in the U.S. We just got distribution in the Whole Foods South region, so that's in 5 states. We also sell on our website, online, fullyloadedtea.com. It's available on Amazon. So we ship to the U.S. all the time.
Well, this is an absolutely incredible story. I mean, did you ever imagine when you were a child in Siberia drinking tea with fruit in it that one day you'd be in Canada and you'd be a food business person?
No, never. So we wanted to be doctors or engineers.
You wanted to be doctors. Okay.
I think you'd probably make more money as a doctor.
No, not over there.
Not in Canada.
Well, the world is an unusual place. We'll tell you an interesting inside story on our side that we find just about as curious as fully loaded.